Welcome to the Kia Ora Catch Up Podcast. My name is Jamie Jones. In this episode, we're going to be running over Vim Bootstrap. So Vim Bootstrap, it's just a generator, a very simple generator that generates you a .vimrc configuration file. You can find this at vim-bootstrap.com. And it's quite interesting. I'll cover off what it actually does as a generator, as well as who it's going to benefit and things like that. So when you go to the website, you're prompted to then select a language, and it supports quite a lot of languages. So you've got JavaScript, you've got Ruby, Haskell, Lisp, Elixir, Python, C, PHP, HTML, Lua, OCaml, Perl, Go, and Erlang. So that's going to cover off basically, you know, 99% of what people are going to be doing on the web, and even then some. Then you get to select your editor. Now, you might be saying, well, this is for Vim. Why would I be selecting my editor? Well, there's actually kind of two branches of Vim now. There's your traditional Vim, which has been around for an extremely long time, and then there's a re-architected version of Vim, which is still in development. I don't believe it's production-ready kind of thing yet, but I know a lot of people are still actually trying to use it as their day-to-day editor, and they're having success with that. It's called NeoVim. I recommend, as some of the homework, go and check out NeoVim. Doesn't really look any different. It's mainly the underlying internals that are a bit different, and there are some benefits from that you do get. So once you've selected your languages you want to support and your editor, you click the generate button and it generates a .vimrc file for you. And that's essentially all you need to get going with your nice new Vim install. Now, all you have to do is put that .vimrc file in your root directory, so your home directory, for your account on your computer, and when you run Vim, it will see that file, pick it up, and first thing it does is a little bit interesting, is it checks to see that you have the required bundler installed, and if it doesn't, it'll automatically install that bundler. Now, these bundlers, they install plugins and things for you, which is going to come into the languages part of things. And once it installs that, it will see that there's some plugins that you have listed in your VimRC file that are missing, and it'll ask you, you know, do you want to install those? And you just type yes, and boom, it will install those. Now, when you select the languages, it's not just the actual language support that you're getting. It's also some nice little things here and there. So with Ruby, there's some Ruby-specific plugins, not just with the language itself. There's like linters and things like that. There's also NerdTree. There's a bunch of other really useful, commonly used plugins that it adds. Now, some people might be saying, well, if you're going to be starting off with Vim, you shouldn't really use one of these kind of boilerplate systems. And I do agree to that to a point. But at the same time, if you're coming from another editor and you want to try out Vim and get up and running, sometimes using one of these tools or these kind of bootstraps really helps the onboarding process, because there are a lot of niceties that you like to essentially have in there. Even if it's not all the advanced features, just the syntax highlighting, those kind of things. NerdTree, for example, it makes a huge, huge difference. So I think in this instance, it's worth it. And then once you're feeling a bit more comfortable, then replacing that .vimrc file with your own, and you'll be able to look through and see what plugins are in there and what you're using and things like that, and you can kind of go into it a bit more. There are some other ones that are a bit more full-on. This is certainly a lighter option. So I think this is why this is kind of okay for first-time Vim users, because you can specify exactly what you want to support. If you are, say, building Rails applications, you might just select in the languages JavaScript, Ruby, HTML. That's it. That's going to keep that VimRC file very slim. It's going to be very, very light, and it's going to be simple to read. There's not going to be a whole bunch of stuff in there that's like branched out to other files and things like that. It's going to keep it nice and simple for you to run through and see when you want to customize, or if you want to start your own and kind of grab some takeaways from that file. Further to the actual generation of the VimRC file, they do have some information on the site, which is good as well. I highly recommend checking it out. You can find it at vim-bootstrap.com. Now, if you are new to Vim and you want to try Vim out, or if you're an experienced Vim, I'd love to know what your thoughts are on something like Vim Bootstrap. You know, have you used one before? Like, how did you start out? Did you try using something like Vim Bootstrap? Or did you just go out from vanilla Vim? I'd love to know what you did when you tried out Vim, or when you transitioned to Vim, what helped you get your foot in the door of using Vim. So if you have any questions, comments, anything like that, please leave a tweet at Kia Ora Catch Up on Twitter. You can send through an email to codycatchup@gmail.com or leave a comment on codycatchup.com for this episode. Essentially, that's it, and we'll catch you in the next episode.